and welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. That is Studio 3. Look, that's pretty much called construction done. I mean, there's a couple of things to put up, but it's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good. This week, I've got a couple of guests in the studio, in the shed. We're going to talk some Blitz. We're going to talk some NBL season ahead. And of course, we're going to give them a chance to sell you on their NBA team or NBA team choices anyway. So let's get straight to it. Returning for his umpteenth time on the show, the Crack'em King himself, Ant. Welcome back, mate.
Oh, it's good to be here. How you doing, Mal?
Oh, mate, I'm great. I'm great because we got a superstar guest in.
He's still talking about me? Or?
If you think that, go for it. Go for it. No, we've got an assistant coach from the Capitals men's program this year, Jared. Welcome.
Thanks. Happy to be here. Long-time listener, first-time participant.
Participant. This is Stefano, Crack'em participant.
Hey, friend of the show, Stefano. Oh, yeah. He got upgraded from guest slightly, but mate, it's great to have you here. Thanks for joining us, Ant, as always. Ta much. And look, let's get into it. Jared, since it's your first time here, where did basketball start for you?
Yeah, so for me, I was growing up, so I was born in Adelaide, Radelaide, probably second grade. Had a friend by the name of James Anacalliger, and he decided he was going out for a basketball team. And I was like, all right, I'm in. So I showed up, that would have been like roughly under 10s, I think, at Woodville, the Woodville Warriors. Started playing there. Our under 10s team was woeful. James was by far, he had an older brother, so he had a leg up on everyone. So he could score, shoot, dribble. I was the primary inbounder.
That's actually quite an important role in a kid's team.
It was our best source of offense because we'd have James run to the baseline on an inbound and then he'd take off down the court and I'd just chuck it over everyone. And if we didn't get a good look out of that, we weren't getting a good look. We'd probably turn it over. So, started there. When we moved to Brisbane, I think I was around 10 years old, maybe 8, 9. I don't know. Not going to be good with the ages. But whenever we moved, we just tried to find the nearest team. That happened to be Everton, the Everton Eagles. I don't think they are a team anymore. And then quickly realized that we probably needed to be at a different club. And that's when I ended up at North Brisbane, which had just undergone the name change from West Michie, just transferring in. So, started playing at North Brisbane under 12s, then started playing the Capitals Juniors. They were called the Metros back then, Metros and Colts. So what went juniors all the way up through, loved every minute of it. When I got to under 18s, I was lucky enough to get a D2 college scholarship over in Western North Carolina. I did 4 years there and decided I liked staying in the US. So I managed to stick around for another 13 years before moving back at the beginning of last year.
Nice. Ant, you went to Div 2, right?
Div 2, like Jacka?
Or? and that's why he's the star of the show. So where exactly did your coaching chops come from? Where did you start with the coaching side?
Yeah, so after getting out of college basketball, I actually did grad school at the University of Notre Dame, and that was challenging for a variety of reasons. And you're sort of like done playing. It was actually wasn't too bad. The pickup ball just in the rec center at Notre Dame was pretty good. And occasionally during the summer, you get the women's team. So Skylar Diggins would come down and play. So it wasn't a bad time, but needed something a little different. Cause I think the frustrating thing is when you stop playing, it's like, nothing's as crisp. You can't do anything as well anymore. At some point you stop bending your knees defensively. and then you're like Matador defense. And you're like, it's not the same. It's more frustrating cause you're not what you were. Needed to find another way to scratched that itch and found it in the form of a small private school in South Bend, Indiana, where I unwittingly signed up. I thought I'd start off as an assistant coach and it wouldn't be that much. Kind of doing a bit more like, oh, you know, like Pedro only played 7 games a year. Like, it's America, so double that will be fine. 14, it can handle that and do grad school. I ended up being head coach and the team played 30 games and had at least 2 practices a week, and sometimes 3. And it was a lot of fun. Stayed connected in various avenues. A lot of the people that I played with ended up being coaches. One of my good friends that I met in graduate school was actually with Draft Express. And so I don't mind trading notes with him every now and then. And just was able to sort of maintain a connection with basketball all the way through up until coming back. And then getting the opportunity to do the Capitals this past year was really, really cool. But yeah, now I'm becoming the head coach at Padua, which is where part of my basketball journey was. And so now I'm trying to inspire the next generation of players there. So lots of fun.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I can definitely agree with the, when you get to a certain point of playing and it's just not what it was. Unfortunately, most of my career was that, but you know, that's why I had to find a podcast.
But you know what I'm talking about with the knees, though. Like, at some point, you just go, not doing it. There's no sliding. I'll just start pointing.
That's what balls down there. Someone get on that.
Grabbing people's foot, you know.
Look, it's a lovely idea. All right. Well, let's get into NBA teams, and I wasn't afraid to throw a bit of shade as soon as I found out who your team was.
A lot of shade. We got to paint the picture.
Well, hey.
It's 1992.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just a young boy in Rattleay growing up. There's only 2 teams that are in stores anywhere. It's Chicago and Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's only 2 shoes you could buy too, Nike and Reebok.
And everybody was Chicago naturally because they won all the time, and MJ, and there's this 7-foot 360-pound human that's amazing. And so I was like, yeah, Magic, that sounds really cool. They had the pinstripes, it was glorious. And so I saddled up when I was 4 or 5 years old. And then, you know, at some point when you have the connection, you don't give it up. You just go, all right, well, we're just gonna ride this out for as long as it goes.
I'm sure we'll get better soon.
Yeah. And look, we've had some highlights and we've had a lot more lowlights, but the first NBA team I ever saw play was Orlando. It was against the Clippers at the Staples Center. But I was able to go to a few games, Orlando games in Orlando. And then when we were living in Detroit, I went to the Orlando games every year. So
nice. Now,
very cheap, just in case you were wondering. not a prime ticket.
No, not from what I've heard, but hey, you know.
The Pistons Magic for most of the 2010s.
Yeah.
They'd pay to sit there. So.
Yeah, when the drinks are more expensive than the tickets, you know there's a problem.
It's probably not the most successful season going on.
So, all right, well, I'll give you 60 seconds. Sell the team. Sell Magics to a new NBA fan walks through the door. They haven't chosen a team yet. Why should they hitch their wagon to the train wreck that is the Orlando Magic?
Yeah, so I'm going to take a tangent. I mean, obviously, there's the great jerseys. Pretty good, exciting history from a player perspective, not a team success perspective. But if you have aspirations of having a family, then Orlando is the team for you because you can sell a family vacation to Disney World in Orlando, Florida, and then shoot right up the road 50 minutes. And if you're paying to take your family to Disney World, no one's going to complain about the cost of an NBA ticket. You can shoot right on over to watch the Magic play. You never have to worry about taking a detour or finding a way to get to the city. You just take your family on that vacation and then tack on. They're already on the jersey. They're the major jersey sponsor. bang, you're an Orlando Magic fan. You'll get to see as many NBA games as you can afford to go to Disney World.
Yeah, and the upside is probably no one on that family trip will actually want to go with you, so you can go and chill on your own.
Just a casual little cheeky escape for an evening from the happiest place on earth.
Yep.
I just think it's an easy way to get the best of both worlds.
And with ticket pricing, you'll be able to buy a seat beside you, put all your stuff. There's so many perks when you look at it that way. Yeah.
They are on the way up. That has to be said.
Yeah, I think that'd be a little frisky. But, not frisky, just a little bit like
playing frisky, like 10th,
11th, ninth, maybe?
10th, well.
Around there. Between 9 and 12. That's the window.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. There have been, for the Orlando Magic, there have been more exciting draft nights than there have been some seasons.
I've been every one of them. I mean, obviously at home, but I mean, the Alfred Payton is going to be an NBA All-Star years. The Victor Oladipo will be all NBA years.
He just not for the Magic.
the Aaron Gordon is the next Kevin Durant years. You do it every year. So actually with Paolo, I was like, well, I'm just going to let this one play out. And obviously early returns looking incredibly good, as Franz Wagner also looking incredibly good and is a world champion. So.
Yeah, you do have to worry about Paolo's gene choices for the slam cover, but you know, you take the good with the bad.
When you're an Orlando fan, you definitely take the good with the bad.
The bad's coming either way.
Speaking of bads coming, Ant, time for you. Same deal with your team. New NBA fan walks through the door. Why should they be a part of the Bucks?
Just jump on the bandwagon. We're just about to go like another 50 wins. Future, we're not bright future Bucks. We're the currently bright Bucks for at least another year or so. So depends on what Giannis wants to do. But if, like he alluded to, that it ends up finishing, I'd assume that we will end up with quite a bright future young team from the 17 first round picks that they'll get for Giannis. So, yeah.
Yeah, Matt, I'm definitely going to have to go with Jared's selling strategy on that one.
It's really cold in Milwaukee. I haven't been, but that's all I hear.
The sun sets in November and it doesn't raise again until April.
Yeah.
Classic Midwest.
The new stadium that they have, the Fiserv Forum, is apparently one of the best venues in the States for basketball. So
the Clippers one's finished.
Yeah. Well, I said one of them. But yeah, it doesn't quite have as many toilets as the Clippers stadium will have. But, you know, we're doing okay.
Look, I'm genuinely curious about that Clippers one. Because it sounds like he's just a genuine basketball fan, way too much cash, and is like, you know what? What used to annoy me when I was a more regular guy,
it's like 50 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to solve all those problems for the fan who no longer exists. But hey, I'm down for that. That works for me.
No longer exists. Are we talking about Clippers fans or just fans? They had some fans during Lob City.
Yeah, look, it was hard not to like during Lob City. Like I went and I was about 10 rows back during the Lob City times, and it was good. They were good times.
Did you enjoy the constant arguing of the referees or with each other? Or
look, I had the choice between watching the Lakers like in like upper bowl,
yeah,
or 10 rows back from Lob City. I made my choice.
one of my friends did the same thing. They were like, these tickets cost the same. And they were three rows back from the Spurs bench watching the Clippers play the Spurs. And then they were in like the second back row for the next night with the Lakers.
Yeah. It's the same Staples Center. It's just a slightly different court and decorations. Yeah. But
I will say your Bucks picked up a fan when I was living in Detroit. I had a friend come and visit over the Christmas period, and the Clippers played, the Cavaliers were playing the Pistons back in the LeBron Kyrie era. And then the Bucks played like, let's say, the 28th or something. And we paid a fortune to get into the Cavs game upper bowl. And Kyrie didn't play, LeBron didn't play, nobody played. Because it was, you know, day before, 2 days before Christmas or something like that. They were all just getting ready for the Christmas Day game. And so then we came back and he's like, well, the Bucks play. Can we go to that? I was like, well, actually, this was before they were perennial MVP Giannis.
Most
like,
improved Giannis that year?
Yeah, like All-Star / most improved really coming on. And he was just trying to dunk on every human being in the arena for 48 minutes. And my buddy's like, well, I'm a Bucks fan. So there you go.
He still does try and dunk it on every person.
Yeah,
but there was that weird interlude between skinny Giannis and just beefcake Giannis.
It was the Mohawk that year. Yeah, that was the most improved Giannis. But he just it was just had no real skill. He was just like, I'm a dunk it. Like, yes, you are.
Yeah. It was surprisingly effective in the course of 48 minutes.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, let's bring it home, back home to that league we love where they play that sweet, sweet D. Didn't play much at the Blitz, has to be said. There was less.
They had that same issue about the bending knees.
Some of the veterans were like, this is preseason. I'm not doing it for this.
Chris Gordon, prime example.
Yeah, on his jump shot. all right. So let's start with the home team. Let's start with the Bullets. Let's fire off a sting here and start with them.
Boom, boom, boom.
Great sting, that one. Great sting. All right, Bullets. Now, last year was, let's just call it what it was. It was awful.
Yeah, that's pretty nice of me.
Without, pointing too many fingers or firing too many bullets. Wasn't great. But from what we've seen so far, what improvements have we seen in the lineup since last year? Who wants to go first?
In the lineup or just the play in general?
Wherever you want to take this, mate.
Just some reasonable ideas and structure to the offense, which has been really nice. So everyone seems to kind of like have an actual role and a purpose on the court rather than it kind of just being a throw that ball out there and let's run around. Taking Sobey off the ball like more has obviously it looks better. There's some growing pains and in the preseason you're not expecting like your Sobes and Baines, even though he had a like really good game, one of those games. You don't expect them to kind of put it all in for these blitz games. But it kind of just looks like more there's more offense there. It's smoother. They seem like they're actually processing to get to something rather than just moving the ball for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one thing that stuck out to me, and again, it's only preseason, but the team looks more equipped to allow Baines to kind of focus on the things that he can still do really well. And if the scoring pop comes back, if that stuff's there, great. But I think they really needed an A-plus season from Baines last year to be effective, and obviously that wasn't in the cards. So where I look at the team now, there's a lot of wing depth. There's sort of X factors, Isaac White. You have these, but you also have steady hands, Mitch Norton, stuff like that, where they've got some options in the course of games that I don't feel like they had last year. And then, overall structure, it was a lot prettier to watch, even at the preseason with the preseason gaffes taking place. I think it's definitely a clearer picture of what they're trying to accomplish offensively and defensively.
Yeah.
And by the way, Rocco's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. He's
a large human, very large.
Yeah, he has a lot of potential, and he's kind of not fully out of his depth, which is quite surprising for like a 17-year-old. Person that I like the most though, Josh Bennon. He, I like DJ Mitchell. He can shoot the ball really well, but the upgrade of DJ Mitchell to Josh Bennon is going to be a big one for this season. I think he just brings a lot more defensively, better rebounder, and better kind of additive player rather than just being a shooter on offense.
Yeah, and the fact that he looks, you know, from certain angles, a dead ringer for him, Song, you know, isn't going to hurt down the line. Certain angles, obviously not straight.
I mean,
on.
I've never seen him in the same room, Mel.
A cheeky double contract signing. Look, and you know, as deep as you want to with your tinfoil hat on that one. But look, it definitely left me feeling with a bit of hope. I know after the first game I was on here saying, look, maybe dial down some of the wild comparisons we're making about Rocco, just in the sense that, like, he's had one good preseason game. He's definitely showed up to it. He played, you know, quite well. Fingers crossed he goes on to have two really good seasons with the Bullets. But let's be realistic about this moving through. And then I showed up to the game on Friday night and saw him in street clothes, and I was genuinely disappointed not to see him. So even though there's that big part of me that's like, I want to dial it down and I want to be a little bit more controlled, especially after the last preseason. Coming into the season, I was like, yep, hype, we've got all this. But it just didn't gel well. I find myself being slowly brought back in by this team because things feel more positive. It feels like there's actually a team game plan going on here.
Yeah, and I actually think when Rocco did play, it wasn't a sideshow. And it looks like the team has a plan for how to deploy him and use him. I think you can't teach his size. I mean, he is a huge body in the lane. And some of the stuff, I was initially a little skeptical. No secret that he had a lot of options and sort of which way do you go. But I actually think the NBL is a really good way for him to go because the opposition is going to be physical with him. But he's going to have a chance in a professional environment to sort of learn defensive rotations in a way he probably wouldn't have to so quickly at other levels. So, but again, like you kind of watch him, it's like he adds value now, but he's going to get to develop, and they have actual options across the floor, which again, I just watching them last year, I was like, oh boy. If a couple of guys aren't hitting, there's not much here. And now it's like, and again, it's only preseason, but they're definitely deeper and more talented than last year, in my opinion.
All right, let's get into what we rate the team out of 10. Anthony.
Out of 10.
Out of 10.
Like currently or how we...
Preseason's finished. What are you feeling? What number?
But can are we saying on like there's 10 teams in the NBL, so rank them?
Ten would be we're absolutely going to knock this season out of the park. Gotcha. We're going to be champions. Zero is we're going to have the same season last year. Where do you think? How are you going to rate it?
I'm at a six.
At a six?
At a six. Slightly above average. Slightly higher than what I had anticipated. Mm-hmm. But yeah, kind of tempering any expectations that I have because it's a very new group, like a lot of the teams are this year. But when you got quite a few like unproven at this level, like you've got the NBA, like the imports and stuff, and we've only got those two imports this year because we've got the two marquee players in Baines and Sobey, so that makes it a bit more difficult on our end. But yeah, I'll give them a six.
Six.
I'm going to give them a five, but actually it kind of leaks into one of the other topics, and so they won't be the same team. But this idea that they could actually improve pretty significantly throughout the year, especially with Shula coming so highly acclaimed over from Melbourne, and the fact that they are new, there's reason to believe that whatever they sort of put out on the court game 1-2 is not what they're going to look like 10, 12 games from now. And again, the talent is there. I think the problem is the NBL itself is, I'm like, well, the Bullets are much improved, but a lot of teams are. So I don't, you know, that might be the challenge for them. It's like, you really can't afford to start slow. We saw Melbourne do it last year and it was curtains for them at the end of the year. So, but I'm optimistic. It's an optimistic five.
Yeah. I came into this thinking Just not sure. Wanted to see them on the court. And now that I have, I'm sitting around the five, six mark. Mm. I'm going to lock in a six. I think realistically, maybe bottom of the traditional, like, you know, fourth place play-in area.
That's I think
kind of where, if things obviously go well, things could obviously implode. We've just been through that. Hopefully we don't get it again. Fingies crossed. But I do feel genuinely optimistic about the plan. Obviously you got Shula, new pieces, Sobey off the ball, D-Mac, friend of the show, Isaac White, you know, lots of little things all sprinkled in, enough returning, and Harrison made it through preseason uninjured.
He was sick.
Knock wood. That was my first worry when I lobbed up to watch NBL One Blitz first game for the Bullets, and all of a sudden it's that they say on the broadcast, Harrison and Baines aren't playing. It's like, oof.
No,
it's going to be tough. But then Baines played, and then Harrison was back. So.
And that's that is one of the concerns with the Bullets, is just like the last umpteenth years, it's been very injury prone. Like, there's not been a year where it's been all smooth sailings since what they went in and played against Perth. Was it Perth or Melbourne in the semi? And like, that's the last time they were healthy for the full year. Whereas, like, we've had the Vic Law injury, Baines in and out all year last year, Sobey, you know, the list goes on. Obviously, people are going to get injured, but usually, like, if someone's going to get injured, I hope it's not those main guys, whereas it has been these last few years. So,
yeah, look, fingers crossed. Yeah. Fingers crossed. All right, let's get off the Bullets because there are some other teams around. What team did you walk away from the Blitz and think, they are ready to start the season strong? I'm going to start with Jared this time around.
Yeah, I think it's probably the easy one, but Melbourne United were extremely impressive. They certainly don't want to repeat of last year. Mm-hmm. Roster construction entirely different. Deli's back. I don't know what got into him, but he decided that he was going to score every time he touched it during the Blitz, which...
Yeah, he's Steph Curry, like...
Yeah, like, but it wasn't
coming
even...
pin downs, just...
Yeah, like, trying to score, right?
Yeah, which I just... tested threes.
I'm not sure I've seen that ever, dating back to college days at St. Mary's, so, you know, that... Certainly didn't see that coming. And I just... I think there'll be a little bit of scorched earth with them because, you know, they learned it's... You can't start slowly. They certainly weren't happy with what happened last year, and they've taken significant steps to correct that. And I just watched, I was like, this team looks like that. Not only are they an upgraded roster from a talent standpoint, but collectively they just look like they want the regular season to start and they want to start taking names. And so extremely impressed.
Yeah. You can talk about all the additions and everything as well, but like just having Shai Ili in the team healthy, like, I'm pretty sure they went 11-3 with him on the court last year.
Yep.
And then if he has a full year of health, like, that they are right up there. Like, he's, sets the tone for that team with the addition of Deli and Ian Clark in the backcourt. They're going to be very tough.
Very, very. Are you on the same United boat, or do you have someone else in mind?
No, I think I'm going to say Perth, which is obviously also an easy option.
Yep.
Bryce looks like Bryce, surprisingly.
Yep.
Interesting with the signing today of their new import power forward. Apparently he was released from his contract in Europe because of some disciplinary reasons. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what those are, but we'll see.
Two-time Puerto Rican champion, though.
Alex Saar looks very impressive. It'll be interesting to see how he matches up physicality-wise against the NBL bigs, but for the most part, it looks like they will try and play him at the four. So he'll be able to stretch that defense and get to the hoop with Pinder playing at the five. And then, Pinder, I don't know if he's going to have the same impact. I was kind of surprised that he moved on. I assume that Perth kind of gave him a pretty good attractive deal, but it's just, it felt a bit funny that he'd move on from Cairns where he's had 2 years of unparalleled success. But he'll be a good addition to that team along with, I like their import guard that has been coming off the bench, I think, or he's been, they've kind of been changing his minutes with Bryce's. Yep. So that Brits, yeah. So he's a very good scorer, pretty good size for a two guard there as well. So that'll be good. I know they lost Travers and a few of their like role players like your Mitch Norton's and that, but you still got your Jesse Wagstaff's and Bryce. So along to the playoffs they go.
Yeah, old man Wagstaff and Bryce Cotton, who still looks like Bryce Cotton in the Blitz. Mm. So, you know, yeah, Perth, Doolittle question mark, but he might not have to.
He might do a lot.
Exactly. And he might be able to do little and they still be amazing. Yeah.
Like, that's what it looks like coming out of the Blitz. Like, it was kind of hilarious. It's like, wait, they still have an import squad?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, they really want to get that sorted before the season. You're like, but why do they need to get that sorted? Yeah, like,
they don't miss him today. Because
There's potential disciplinary charges that need to be sorted out. All right. Okay, so what team left you thinking, they'll be a middle-of-the-road team, but maybe we'll see something down the long road that is the NBL season?
Oh, I'll jump in. I'm going to jump on my guys from last year in New Zealand, just with availability of Will McDowell-White, if he's back on court soon or later. Or I think the change of having three new imports is it's tough for them. Like, it's going to be a bit of a grind out period where, like, their three imports last year meshed perfectly together, knew their roles, and I'm sure they'll get to that over the season, but maybe you see some growing pains at the start, and come finals time they've got Will on the court and their off guard, or their point guard currently, was incredible at the Blitz. I know obviously it's just the Blitz, but, and then you got Zylan Cheatham, who is just gonna dunk it on literally anyone that stands in front of him apparently for the whole season. So no, it'll be exciting. They'll figure out how they're gonna play their rotation, because I just don't think, at least I don't think they see Mango as the starting center after the Blitz, but I'm not sure. In certain matchups they'll play Mathiang there, but yeah, look for them to go small with Cheatham towards the end of the year and kind of progress from there.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go and bet on sort of coaching dating back to last year and go with Cairns here. Mm-hmm. I think they're an easy team to overlook for a variety of reasons, but I think Adam Ford's a little bit, like, at this point, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think it was easy to sleep on him last year. So if they can hang around through the first half of the year, and I must admit, I'm totally smitten by Taron Armstrong. I think that guy's awesome.
He's so incredible.
I'll be watching a lot of Cairns, so I hope they're good for that reason. But they've also got the next star, and I'm not going to try and butcher his name. but, you know, there's pieces there, and I kind of just trust Ford to get him going in the right direction. If they can hang tough through the first half of the year, I think they can pick some people off. And there's really no reason, you know, dating back to last year, as they went into the finals, they get nicked up, they get injuries, they get big misses, and everyone's like, it's going to, you know, the wheels are going to fall off, and they didn't fall off, you know, not until they came up against an insurmountable opponent. But, you know, that's why I would lean Cairns, and also because, again, the Armstrong's just, man, I wish I could spot up and just catch balls from him and shoot through his beer. Nice day at the office for me.
I feel like I wouldn't catch them because I would be so shocked at the ball. Yeah. But what, you were facing the other way and there was three defenders between me and you.
And not only like does he make the pass, but it's like right in the shot pocket, good to go. Like, just awesome. So
he's definitely on my super coach team.
Nice. All right. Now, I think we can probably all say this next one together. So what team really left you scratching your head?
Did you want to say it on three?
On three. All right, on three. One, two, three.
36ers. I was going to say Adelaide. Yeah. But I didn't know which way we were going.
Not scratching your head, like, they stunk. Yeah. That we're not unsure about that. But I look, this, I'm a tragic. I grew up in Adelaide. First professional basketball experience was at the Clipsal Powerhouse with Brett Maher, Darnell Mee, Kevin Brooks. I did.
Quick test of how much of an Adelaide fan you are.
Oh, this isn't going to be good.
Why are they called the 36ers?
Oh, I looked that up once. Is it because their street is, they're on 36 something, or it's not that? No, then I got nothing.
Adelaide, I believe Adelaide was founded in 1936.
Okay. There you go.
Learn something new every day.
See, because I knew the 49ers for the gold rush. And like at some point I went through and did the 36ers and it never stuck. So there you go.
Well, that's what my wife was told when she went and did a tour with work of the Adelaide Oval. So she was straight back to tell me that. And I was like, sure, I don't need to Google that. Like some tour guide told you that. I'm just going to take that on face value and just totally roll. Might have been 1836, not 1936, but it's something 36.
Yeah. Go with 18. Yeah. Yeah. Regardless, but I think the biggest thing as an Adelaide tragic is, you know, we sat there in June, July, Cleveland leaving clearly took them by surprise. I'm not sure that it should have.
That is tough though.
I'm not sure that it should. I mean, they should have
Left. Like, he was fantastic last year, and this is the thing with good imports. This is a stepping stone to
Either
when McCarthy comes in the NBA or into top league.
They sign 1 year deals unless there's a problem. Unless there's some sort of reason.
Even if you're signing multiple years, they've all got outs.
And
every single one of them has at least an NBA out, if not a European Division One out.
So, you know, clearly they got caught with their pants down a bit there, panicked and signed Jamal Franklin, who The biggest problem is when there's people that are paid to do this job and you're sitting there going, he can't shoot, and you want him to play guard in a league that shooting is a real premium. And then he doesn't even last, two games of NBL Blitz before he's being shut down and ultimately released?
It's a different story if he's not playing guard next to Macca and Trenton Flowers, who neither of them are fantastic shooters either. So you can't have a backcourt of three guys that cannot shoot the ball. Like, Macca can shoot, but he's not a shooter. Like, most teams are probably going to give him that half a step. And then it's the same for Trenton. Like,
square peg, round hole, but everyone could see it coming. And that's what frustrates you as a fan, is when you're sitting there going, wait, this isn't a surprise.
Like, yeah,
it was never going to work.
And then even then, I don't think, Wiley, he was fantastic in his first stint. The league has come along a long way since his first stint in the NBL. Like, I'm not taking anything away from him. He was absolutely, unstoppable the first time he was here and played with some ferocity that you just don't see. But now the league it's a lot higher talent, at least it seems. I'd be happy to see him prove me wrong, but it's just, I don't think he was the answer. As much as he's a beloved character in Adelaide, it's hard to see him being the answer. Paying a guy to come off the bench as your import is, with the lack of local talent that they have in some spots.
Yeah, the little brick walk to Illawarra.
Yeah.
He's an Adelaide boy.
He was training with him literally last year. You had, I can't think of his name. From last week on the pod, and he was talking about coaching
Jamie Petty.
Sorry, Jamie, if you're listening.
He will be big fan of the show.
He was talking about coaching Lachie Albrecht last year. How do you just let the guy go to Illawarra? Like, he should be getting minutes in your squad, and he's probably going to blow up this year. All the NBA scouts are talking about him. I know he had one garbage time game where he got hot and scored a lot, but the guy's very talented at 18 years old.
First year at college, and you know, he's a local boy. And I think the problem that when you really get to the root of it, to why we think they're a train wreck, is every other team you can see the outline of what they're trying to accomplish. And for Adelaide, it's a little bit like, wait, what? Like, here's this guy that's going to play point guard, but he doesn't play point guard. And when the 18-year-old announced, I was like, okay, but then the coach comes out and says, no, he's our point guard. That lasted two games. You just never feel good about anything when it just doesn't seem like there's a uniform approach. So
I heard a lot of different things in the off season about trying to move on from particular players and that they weren't willing to take a buyout because, yeah, certain things in their contract. And then, but then, yeah, we've moved on to where we are, and I don't know how it's going to go. I feel bad for Kadee because I like, that's my guy. I love Jason Kadee. But it's, I think it's going to be a really rough year out in Adelaide. Like, and no, like, it's hard because CJ, really nice guy, really good individuals coach. I just have never seen one of his teams be successful, like an actual team. Fantastic, like, skills coach. Like, should have been in the NBA. Like, he had offers to be like a development coach with like the Raptors, and that's kind of where his skill is, whereas him head coaching a team, I just don't see it. Like, I don't see the gamesmanship from a coaching perspective. I knew he had it as a player, but it just, yeah, it seems like they're just missing, he's missing something as a coach, and they're definitely missing something as a team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Watching last year, as a fan, the rotations were always all over the shop with Adelaide. And so, again, you just, to your point, if the team's not quite right, he might not on his own be able to pull it to competitiveness.
Just a reminder that this episode is brought to you by PCR Maps. If you need your business ranking on Google Maps, just Google PCR Maps and they'll be able to help get your business ranking in no time at all. That's PCR Maps. All right, NBL is returning Friday. It's going to be back, and there's a big name in town. And I have Thursday, it'll be restarting. And I have a question around the big name, and it's not wedding plans or anything like that. It's more around, does the NBL really need to pay a whole heap of money to bring Scottie Pippen out for something like this? Or do you think it adds an element that we haven't seen and will be beneficial?
I don't know. I don't think we need to. I think it could, like, give us some extra viewership. I'm not sure if it does, like, enough to move the needle. The thing that's kind of moving the needle are the players. Like, when you had LaMelo over here or your Josh Giddies when he started to get some more hype, and this year your Alex Saar. I think we're, like, a lot more eyes will be on the NBL this year because of those reasons rather than Scottie Pippen turning up for a couple games.
Yeah, I think we're probably not the right target audience for it because we're going to watch it regardless. And I know that they've taken a huge sort of marketing / business approach to the league, which is refreshing because, I mean, I had to live through the failed NBL, the multiple times failing NBL. And I would say now it's in a better position than it's been in a long time, definitely from a talent perspective. And so, you know, I sort of think, like, well, you know, people at my workplace have been like, oh, yeah, they got their guy coming out for the first game, like, played with Michael Jordan. It's like, again, I don't know if that translates to consistent viewership, but it's something where maybe if you get people to tune in, they're like, oh, this is actually, there's massive, you know, windmill dunks and stuff going on. Like, this is a fun product. Maybe that gets them to stick. I don't know. But I would lean closer to unnecessary than necessary.
Yeah. But you're not looking, like, in defense of them, like, you're not looking at trying to get, like, a high retention rate. You kind of want, if, like, a few extra people in each one of our lives says that they're going to watch this game, if you get a 10% retention rate, that's increasing your, like, window of or your viewership by quite a lot, you know. Like, if that ends up being the case, I don't know. I think it's more that, like, trying to get to that audience overseas and continuing to build our viewership of, like, our streaming services and that, because most of the games were quite well, like, there's quite a lot of crowd. Like, even the Bullets, they were really bad last year, like we said, but the last game was a sellout. You know, like, most of the games, the crowd wasn't empty. Like, it felt like there was a, like, if the game was going well, there was quite an aura in the arena. Like, And that's the same for most of the, like most of the stadiums around Australia, especially like your Perths and your Sydneys and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it's more getting that viewership online and trying to keep building the brand so that the advertising goes up, and then we can keep increasing those, increasing the salaries so that we can bring in those players like your Jalen Adams and Denzel Valentine's from the Kings and whatnot. So,
yeah, and I think it's definitely more that international sort of space, because, and it's, you know, it's not really going to affect our demographic as, you know, people who were around enough to know exactly what Scottie Pippen was about, watched some of his games, not live obviously, but you know, we were there for some of that, and it's like, oh, cool. Doesn't move the needle for us, yeah. But if I it mean, moves it internationally, cool.
It'd be really cool to see him in person. Oh, just yeah. To be able to be like, I've met Scottie Pippen or whatever, but mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully it moves the needle and we continue to develop, because it'd be great to have an even better pathway for the young guy, like the young athletes that we have here.
And I think one of the coolest things, you know, in the last couple of years is we're seeing more and more young Aussies either start their career or continue their career in the NBL in a way that they weren't mm-hmm. for a long time. So it's exciting to actually have Rocco stick around and play for the Bullets. Taryn's going to be fun to watch up in Cairns. I'm blanking on the name. It's Sydney.
Alex Tui.
Who had some really impressive Blitz games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is significantly larger than I thought.
That is exciting to me in a way. You know, there was a time when I thought, is the next thing a little bit sideshowy, a little bit gimmicky? Mm. You know, some of these guys, like I even felt last year, Ryan Rupert was... New Zealand was like, okay, let's just play him in the first quarter so we don't have to play him again. You know, because when you're big, high stakes games, it's tough to play rookies. Not because he wasn't capable or good, just that's the reality of it. But, you know, now that more and more Australians are getting involved, I think it's making the league more exciting to watch, because for a long time there, it was hard for young guys to really get any traction in the NBL.
Yeah, the game has changed, which is delightful. Delightful that Australian NBL is a genuine pathway to the NBA.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's get into some predictions. So we've got Thursday's game coming up, season opener, Melbourne United versus Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Who are you taking, Mr. Kopskis?
Oh, I am running with Jared's pick for the who's looking the best, and I was taking Melbourne. Although I do like the import big, and I don't know if it's just the preseason, and he was like genuinely trying. He was genuinely trying. You know what I mean? If maybe it's that, but he looked really good, and I would not be surprised if one of the other teams that has a big import that doesn't produce over the first little bit of the season ends up taking him for when Big Sauce gets back. But Melbourne's my pick for this game.
United.
Joe. Yeah, I'll take United. I think it's, again, they just look like they were loaded for bear last week, and I expect that to continue this week.
All right. Look, I'll swerve. Just because.
So Cook's going to have 30 points and 15 rebounds.
He
definitely has
look,
the tools.
I mean, I'll swerve only because you guys are both going United, but. Yeah, I'm going to move on quickly so I don't have to defend that too much.
Yeah, come on, give us some reasoning behind it. Deli's not going to play well.
Yeah, he's never been good in, you know, early parts of the season in a United jumper.
Gary Brown's going to carry over that shooting that he had in that fourth quarter of one of the games in the Blitz.
All right, moving on to Friday's games, Bullets and Adelaide. Jared Eager.
I'm taking the Bullets because I don't know if Adelaide's going to win a game anytime soon.
I'm much the same, although I will put a stipulation. I think Kadi is going to cook.
Okay.
I think Kadi will come in and he'll either have like a 30-point game or he'll have like a 5-point game on like 15 shots, because I think he's got a point to prove. And it'll be exciting to see. I do think the Bullets will get it done against a influx Adelaide team.
Yeah, I'm not swerving on this one.
I was hoping you would.
No, come on. Push back on
that. No, I'd already written bullets down on the piece of paper before you guys started. Sure. So technically, Ant, if we're doing this, you should have swerved. So.
Mal, who you got for the for Friday night, 9:30, Perth versus Tassie?
The early game. Look.
At RAC Arena.
Yeah, give me Perth. Give me Perth. Start of the season. They look like they've got something special like we talked about.
I feel like I can't have this one stolen. So someone's going to swear it's going to be Jack.
Go ahead,
this is the team that I said there was going to be. Really cool.
That's fair enough.
I'm taking Perth.
Yeah, I'll take Tasmania, a little plucky. You know, I think Perth might be feeling themselves a little bit after the blitz and, you know, playing at home. And Tasmania has nothing if not moxie. So.
I think Tassie has a good like way of playing to combat Perth, like real physical, gritty defensively, slow them down, get Perth out of that like up tempo action. So there's certainly a roadmap for Tassie to get it done as well.
Alrighty, Jared, Breakers or Taipans on the Saturday?
Yeah, I'm going Breakers here. I like Tasmania, but not to start. I like Cairns, but not to start the season. I think this might be this might actually get a little rough, but I'm excited to see old mate, the defensive Jackson. There's a hyphen in there for New Zealand. I've reached that point where I just start throwing out like hyphens and I can't pronounce the name, but the defensive guard in New Zealand and
Jackson Cartwright. I didn't look that up at all.
Arizona's own Jackson Cartwright. And Taron Armstrong, I think that'll be a cracker, but I'm taking the Breakers.
Yeah, I'm running with my guys from last year. As much as they're going to miss Will, like Jared said, Parker Jackson Cartwright, really, really nice. He
Ant looked it up by the way.
Yeah, I did. he set the table really well for that, like for the team in the preseason, and I think Cheatham will be hard for them to handle as well.
Yeah, look, I'll swerve just because it's Mitch Langford from Capitals Women this year.
Yeah, support the boys.
Yeah, his first game, you know, on the sidelines with their first full season game. So I'll back his Taipans in. Next game, Hawks Kings. What do they call this one? The freeway rivalry?
It's something along the freeway, but I don't think it's the freeway rival. I think isn't it like the freeway series or something?
Yeah, something, and it's a horrible freeway. It's not like you get halfway there and it's one lane. Like it's not a freeway, guys.
It's not a good time.
No. Hawks Kings. Look, I'll jump on the grenade first. Give me the Hawks.
Give you the Hawks.
Yeah, the Hawks.
Give me an outline of how they win in that game.
Pure moxie based on the distilled moxie they used in that last game to get over the Taipans.
I do like them, but I think I'm gonna flip-flop. I'm gonna jump on Illawarra because I just don't think Sydney have had enough together at this stage. I don't think it'll take them very long to get on track, but I think it might be a little rocky for the first few weeks until Jalen Adams has settled back in. I don't know how Denzel Valentine's actually going to perform in the NBL. Obviously DJ Hoag knows how to play at an NBL level. And then Jonah Bolden's coming back from not playing for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, give me Illawarra. Lockie Albrecht to have a nice little contributing factor. 15 minutes off the bench, probably like 12, 14 points.
Yeah, with a bit of Froling and, you know, a couple of years ago, Harvey.
Well, I think Robinson's actually going to be tough. Like, hopefully he doesn't get injured this year. Like, fingers crossed, touch wood. He's very good and very quick. Hard to guard. I don't think they've got a lot that can kind of keep up with him.
I'm going to go with Sydney here. I'm going to take him primarily on the basis that
they won the last two seasons.
It's called benefit of the doubt. Also, Zell, Michigan State alum. I was fortunate enough to go to a number of games for a year at up in East Lansing when I was living in Michigan, and got to see Zell go from some weird player, like, what can he do? How does this work? To, you know, all Big Ten, high NBA draft pick. So I have a soft spot for him. I agree there's some questions as to how he'll fit in the NBA, but he is definitely smart enough to figure it out. And yeah, I'm just not going to back against the team that's won two consecutive finals and sort of finds a way to get it together when it matters.
Yeah, but that's the trick. It doesn't matter. They proved that 2 years ago when they went, 0-8 or whatever to start the season, and then went 406 in a row. Like, it was a ridiculous turnaround. But all right, for the next one, Jared, starting with you. 36ers or United?
So I wanted to find a way to give the 36ers a win, but their second game's against Melbourne, so I cannot. I've got to stay with Melbourne. I just, you know, again, it's much of the same. You got a team trying to find itself, and I think a team that knows exactly what it wants to be. So I don't expect that one to be pretty.
Yep, I'm taking United as well. Ant?
Nah, really, really plucky Adelaide team. No, give me Melbourne. Give me Melbourne plus 15.
Wow. Okay. Okay. All right. Last game, Phoenix versus Wildcats in John Cain Arena.
I'm running that two teams are coming out of here 0-2 on the Sunday. So give me Perth to come into John Cain and get it done against the Phoenix.
I'll take Southeast Melbourne. I'll back Cook in to get one win. But yeah, maybe there's a chance they can. Perth's tough, but I'll take Southeast Melbourne.
Give me Perth.
Is Creaky in for this first week?
Not sure. That's why I went Perth.
Yeah, because he didn't play at all at the Blitz, yeah. Right? Yeah. That's if he's in, then they've got a really good shot to win both of those games. If he's out, I think it'll be a bit more of a struggle again, especially with the Perth game. Like, Cook and Pinder really kind of match up really well. Like, both supreme athletes, same position, kind of play with the same ferocity. So I'd say that they might cancel each other out, but it'll just be up to those two other imports. And then if you get something out of Mal's guy, Rube Starangi, so...
Defense.
Man, he shot the ball well at the World Champs.
Yeah.
Like, sort of 25 point game?
Yeah, unfortunately, FIBA Terangi doesn't completely correlate to.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same.
NBL Terangi.
He's the Evan Fournier of the NBL. Hey, man, let Dylan Brooks cook.
No.
He's FIBA Daniel Tice.
I didn't think Daniel Tice had a super great world champs, actually.
Yeah, but he's a world champ.
Yeah,
yeah, he is.
He didn't play too bad. Miles.
No.
He had some moments. He played a lot better than the last time he was in a Celtics jersey. So,
like, the early on of the at the Olympics, he was like semi dominant. You're like, who the hell is this guy? But yeah, he just kind of played his role a bit more. You had a lot more Franz getting involved, and then Schroeder ran the show a lot more than in the past, whereas Tice got a lot more action before. I didn't really use that pick and pull.
And Schroeder even ran the show a lot more than the coach at times as well. It's a bold strategy. It's a bold strategy,
hey,
but it worked.
They beat the US and then got a gold medal, so it's pretty hard to argue with the results.
Exactly. And I'm sure the footage of the coach sitting off to the side in tears after winning the whole thing was completely unrelated, and they were just happy, happy tears.
He bullied me.
All right. Okay. Quick prediction. Give me a team that's going to make the finals proper. I don't need a big spiel about it. Just
like,
give me
the NBL final or the like, just the playoffs.
The top four positions.
Okay.
Top four positions.
Give
me a team you think will make it.
Safest pick's probably Melbourne. I'm going to take Melbourne.
I'll take Melbourne. Perth just to offset, but similar reasoning.
Yeah.
Yep. Fair enough. Fair enough. Good thoughts.
Mal,
I like
you're going with someone more.
I'll hold mine for another couple of weeks.
Okay, I get it. Give yourself some time to watch. Yeah, they don't look good. Lucky I didn't pick Adelaide.
Fine, Kings. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all going safe.
We all climbed out on that bridge.
There's four spots. We picked the three teams that basically always go to the playoffs.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you want to paint me into a corner? Fine, I'm here. It's okay.
What other predictions you need?
That'll do predictions wise.
You know, I wouldn't mind hearing an early MVP pick. Anyone got someone that there's or that will make one of the all NBL teams? Give us that. So all aiming. NBL. Aiming for MVP, but if they slot into the all NBL teams.
I'm going to go out on a branch here and say Bryce Cotton. It's risky.
It's
risky, but give me Bryce Cotton.
Who you got, Jared?
I'll take Adams. Might take him a while to get going, but
so two former MVPs. We are out on that same branch, right near the trunk, and it's a like quite a thick branch.
Is Jamal Franklin still available?
Cole Anthony is, but that's another story.
Give me Milton Doyle. I think he's going to be right up there for the MVP this year.
Does he? Nice. All right. So time to get into a little bit of local card shop of Woolloongabba / Mermaid Beach Crack'em. Staying on the idea that this is Jared's first go round, I popped into the local card shop on the weekend and I got myself a pack of a repack pack of a certain NBA team, being, of course, the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I've been absolutely shafted. Jared's knowledge.
I've been feeding you good NBA Orlando players in Hoops Grid. So
yeah, not ones that will come up on a card.
So I've got eight.
Travis Dina.
There's not like 2005 like NBA cards that are. Travis Dean.
So I've got eight cards here that are straight up Orlando Magic guys, and then I've got another one which will be a tiebreaker card
that we won't need. Tiebreaker card. Jared's going
to
get
which we may or may not need, but for a bit of fun, we might get to it anyway. Let's see how we go. All right, so here we go into local card shop of Woolloongabba / Mermaid Beach Crack'em. If you haven't played before, I read the back of the card. Anytime I get to the player's name, I will just say somebody instead of their name. And apart from that, I just read the back and they've got to guess the card. Now, sometimes I need to give clues and things. I doubt that's going to be a problem here this evening, but look, you never know.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities. If Jared goes in early and misses one, then we're going to need some clues.
Look, possibly. Let's see how we go. All right. Somebody, first card, somebody bagged eight triples against Miami on March 14, 2021. Jared, do you need any more? Or? You got this? Oh, he's genuinely thinking about it. He's genuinely thinking about it. None of them were easy shots. The guard fired after flying around screens, over double teams, and off the dribble to hit that mark. Half of his makes on the night came in the fourth quarter.
Bucks. I'm just going to guess it's the jersey on the wall. It's Cole Anthony.
It is not Cole Anthony. Shoot your shot, Boo. Shoot your shot. Fourth quarter when he accounted for 12 of his team's 20 points in that quarter.
T. Ross.
If by T. Ross you mean Terrence Ross, then you are 100% correct, sir.
That does make sense that none of his shots were easier. Yeah. The guy never seen that was guy born make
to
an
wait
open
for a defender
three.
To close him out.
Hey, sometimes we need our decisions made for us by the defenders. It's a horrible way to do
it. The decision was don't shoot it. Pass the ball, please, Terrence.
All right. Card number two. When he slashes into the key, somebody is a dart flying through the air in search of the bullseye. That, of course, would be the rim, which he attacks with a sharp skill set. Once he gets into position with zippy speed, he can finish with powerful slams or a polished set of layups. That could literally be anybody.
Yeah, that was not helpful at all.
Okay. Ooh. NBL credentials?
NBL.
And I think I have a feeling. I don't think he's been picked up anywhere this time.
RJ Hampton.
RJ Hampton, it is.
Yeah, I don't think he has been. No. He got traded to Detroit. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think he has a contract.
Maybe. Yeah. I have to double check that. But
I think he's worth giving a contract. He's still super young, super athletic.
Yeah. But I do have some graded cards if anyone is really super keen.
Hey, he's going to get picked up, guys. They're going to double in money. I know it.
Okay, card number three. Early in their matchup with Orlando on December 27, 2020, the Wizards jumped out to a 16-4 lead. Then somebody hit a tough driving layup and flipped the game around. The point guard slowly yet surely clawed his team back into the contest and finished with a career-high 26 points in a comeback victory.
DJ Augustine.
It is not DJ Augustine.
I think he's had like 30-point games. Well, yes. I was going to go with Fultz, but I think he's had higher points. Oh, no, it's Fultz.
Markel Fultz, it is. It is.
He had a triple double. He had a triple double in Philly. Because I was like, I remember him having a big game in Philly, but I think it was a triple double that they threw water all over the top of him.
All right. Somebody can erase a strong defensive set with just a few dribbles. The Bulls found that out firsthand on April 14, 2021, after they pinned him near half court with just 9 ticks on the shot clock. The guard scooted past 2 opponents with a pair of filthy crossovers, got to the rim, and scored with a circus shot.
Cole Anthony
is correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Nice.
You were once bitten, twice shy. I didn't want to go again after getting everyone the first time.
All right. While he was card number 5, 2-2, as it currently stands. While he has a reliable hook shot and can hit a handful of threes, somebody's greatest strength is his rim protection.
Bucks. Is it Wendell Carter Jr.?
Using his long arms and unmovable frame, he contests every shot he can.
Oh, no, I know.
Forcing opponents to contort to avoid a block. Eager to add his defensive prowess, Orlando scooped him up in free agency.
Oh, no, I don't. I don't know who that is now.
All right. This is one of those ones where the team name on the card doesn't match the uniform the player is wearing. The uniform the player is wearing is number 15 for DC, the Washington Wizards. You're both back in. Oh. He's got a crazy looking hairstyle. Absolutely loves going.
Robin Lopez.
Robin Lopez it is. I was going to say absolutely loves going to Disneyland.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I feel like giving him a few threes is a bit generous.
Yeah. That
I knew he did it the one season with the Bucks and he's doing the teacup. Yeah. Oh,
he's no Brook.
All right. 3-2. Jared's up over the maybe Crack'em King question mark. Only slightly. Somebody leaves mouths agape whenever he spreads his arms and flashes his otherworldly 7'10" wingspan.
Oh, Bucks, it's
Mo Bamba. Oh, it is.
Come on, that's who I thought that Rolo was gonna be. I was like, that's Bamba, and then you said free agency. I was like, nah.
Yeah. That was the
it's all gone.
All right, now. The only clue I've got for these next two cards is listen very carefully, very carefully. And that's the only clue I'm going to give you.
Sound impossible.
Yeah.
The number 3 pick in 1993 somebody was drafted by Golden State and sent to
Penny.
It is a Fernie Penny, by the way.
Chris Webber.
Yeah, he got traded for Chris. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who was that?
Weren't they good friends?
Was it Blue Chips? Blue Chips. Shaq was like, get Shaq this guy. Get this guy.
Yeah, you heard about that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then was absolutely filthy when Warriors picked him up and then had to take a deep breath and then moves happened. And yeah, history. And then Shaq left. Anyway. Okay. Again, listen clear. Turn those ears on. Trust me. Somebody played 4 seasons for Orlando and posted 4 of the 7 highest scoring campaigns.
Tracy McGrady.
Correct.
Let's go.
Damn. Damn. Yeah, I didn't want to go. Obviously, they're older guys. I didn't want to say these aren't current guys because then.
Honestly, easier than the newer guys.
So much easier.
All right. Well, that kind of wraps it up, but let's hit the tiebreaker card anyway.
No, it's not a tiebreaker.
It's not a tiebreaker card.
Dead rubber card,
but let's do it anyway. All right. Always lurking at the three-point arc, watching, waiting, sizing up a potential shot. Somebody can frighten the daylights out of opponents with lights-out shooting.
JJ Redick.
No. Scary good, again, for a Jazz team that led the NBA with 52 wins in 2020-2021 season. He passed John Stockton, 845 for the most trays in Utah history.
Jingles.
It is Jingles, the man who's come from your team and heading to your team. That's why he was chosen as the tiebreaker card.
Really good. Clever tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't just going to leave it as a dead and not go to it. It was a brilliant choice by me. Thanks, guys.
Is it a pretty Jingles card?
Are there any Jingles cards that aren't pretty? All right, well, the Crack'em King keeps his crown, remains.
Only just. I'll take those old school cards.
Yeah, thank you, T-Mac and Penny.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Guys, thank you very much for coming in and joining us. That was absolutely fantastic having you in.
That was a lot of fun. I always enjoy shooting the proverbial with you guys. So, no, it's a lot of fun. So,
really happy to be on here and excited to be a participant.
Oh, it's great having you both on. Thank you again for your time. All right, that does wrap us up. If you are out there on the socials, please do give us those likes, follows, shares, all that kind of stuff. If you are listening on a podcast service that allows 5-star reviews, please do go and do that. That stuff really does help. But until you're listening to us again, just remember that ball don't lie.
It never does.